Well, amen. It's good to be here this morning. It is exciting to be with you, and I'm so glad Joy and Tim could be with us, and our oldest daughter and son-in-law, and then our two grandchildren are, I guess, in the nursery, or Joshua and Ellison, and one of the greatest sounds to my ears is, Grandpa, and I was waiting for that, Grandpa, and he said, where's Grandma? So that's okay. And Ellison, and thank the Lord for them. And they drove up, and hour and a half they came in, so just to hear me preach, probably because I'm her dad. But anyway, I'm glad she came, and Tim, and it's good to have Martha with me. It is good to have her with me. This is my wife, Martha, so we're excited about being here. Thank the Lord for you. I hear the live scream is not working, or the live stream is not working, so there you go. Maybe it's I did something to it. I don't know. But it's so good. We've enjoyed being here and excited about this time of the year and the fall and the changing of seasons. I mentioned Sunday school, all the pumpkin stuff, and I'm so excited about that. Boy, the music's been great. And if that didn't light your wood, you must not have any wood. I don't know. You need to check. But that was a blessing. Appreciated all the special music. I loved the choir, and I think that got changed at the last minute, but that was good. Praise the Lord for that. But what a wonderful time this morning. Good spirit and sense of the Lord's present. And had a great time in Sunday school. Nobody fell asleep. I was looking over here. I told some guys I'm going to be watching your little texters. Yeah, right. Okay. Yeah, I see some of you got them in your hand. That's a little scary. Remember, I can see what goes on up here. Just remember that. I've got an above-the-crowd view. So, you know what I'm saying? And you want to share that text with us, brother? Oh, my. All right. Enough teasing. I'm a big tease. You'll just have to, put up with that. So I love to tease and have a good time in the Lord. A church is a family. A church is a family. And it's good to laugh together. And sometimes you cry together. But it's good to laugh. And I like having a good time and teasing. And I can hang with the best of them. But a church should do that. A church is real people with real faith who love each other. And when you're a family, you're going to laugh, you're going to cry, you're going to interact. And so that's a healthy church. It's a healthy church. It really is. And all those things are going on. Well, let's take God's word and let's go to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Book of Hebrews, chapter 11. Hebrews, chapter 11. And I want to begin our reading in verse 5, please. Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 5. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found, because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Would you pray with me, please? Before we go to God's Word together, let's pray together. Father, I pray you still our hearts. Sometimes we just have so many things going on in our mind and our heart, and it's like a freeway. I pray we'd be still and let you speak. There is something you want to tell us today. I know that every time your Word's given, you have something for the believer. We all need what we're going to hear today, but someone has a real particular need. I pray it be met in Christ Jesus. Lord, help us to grow in our walk. Help us not to move backward, certainly, but help us not to be stagnant. And challenge our hearts and help us to move forward in our walk with the Lord Jesus. Spirit of God, we need your help today, and I pray you enable us to communicate what you put on our heart. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, sometimes you hear people say things like this, you know, if it wasn't for my faith, I wouldn't have made it. And I just ask questions, and I'm thinking, what does that mean? What does that mean if it wasn't for my faith? I would have made it through. I just ask questions. Some people probably think I play 21 questions. If you're around me, I'll just question. What about this? What about this? And so I think, what does that mean? You know what I think it means? Some people have faith in faith. And faith is only as valid as the object of the faith. And if the object of your faith is faith, that's a dead-end street, brother. But if the object of your faith is God Himself, it's a powerful thing. And I want to challenge you today with your faith. You say, well, preacher, what is faith? Well, if you look at the first part of the chapter, I'll tell you. But let me just try and make it simple. Faith involves, obviously, trust and confidence. But it's more than that. It also involves obedience. You remember the hymn, Trust and Obey? There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. That's faith. That's two sides of the faith coin, trust and obey. And I'm going to tell you what, you're not going to obey if you don't trust. You're not going to have the faith of obedience if you don't have the faith of trust. You won't. And you're not going to move forward, and you're not going to see God work. Faith is the platform, like I'm staying on this platform. Faith is the platform upon which we live. It is the atmosphere that we breathe. It is the environment that we move in as a believer. Faith is the substance there. And it is not just some pie in the sky idea. It is a reality that there's absolute trust, absolute confidence. I rest my life upon that. I move ahead in life upon that. That's faith. God wants you to have, you're going to see this morning, God wants and expects you to have that attitude and that spirit of faith. The choir, I appreciate that, Brother Scovel, living by faith. That is exactly what God wants you to do. Exactly. Are you there? Well, if you're not, you're missing out. You're missing out. And I hope that you let the Lord challenge you this morning to live by faith. Some of you say, you just don't know. No, I don't, but God does. God does. And He's got some things for you. I only have 2 points this morning. Don't get excited when I say there by that. Oh, good. Yeah, but each one of those points are hour long, so there you go. I'm just kidding. But they are there are a lot of sub-points. So when you have a point, you know, you think, well, just 2 points. I don't have 3 points in a poem, so there you go. Faith. We're going to talk about Brother Enoch this morning and his faith. Do you realize he was the seventh son from Adam through Seth? And then, do you remember Lamech? He was also the seventh son, but from a different line. There was a big difference in these two fellows. It really was, how different they led their lives. Enoch will end his life going to glory without dying. Remember Lamech? He ends his life guilty of murder. What a difference. There's a difference between, listen to me, faith and flesh. You're walking by faith or you're walking in the flesh. All right, let's talk about the walk of faith. Back to verse 5. By faith he was translated. So first of all, see, translated. No death. By faith. And I don't know if God revealed that to Enoch or not. The Word of God doesn't say. I don't know how He communicated that. But that never happened before. No one had been translated like that. If you go back to Genesis 5, we won't because of time, but you read in verses 5 and 8 and 11 and 14, and it says, so-and-so, and he died. So-and-so, and he died. So-and-so, and he died. And he died. And he died. Not with him. He didn't die. He was translated. And he lived in probably one of the darkest times of human history. He lived in the midst of a dying man, yet he didn't die. We live in the midst of dying people, but we're alive. He was alive. And he's the type of the New Testament believer that could be translated any moment through the rapture of the church, caught up to meet with the Lord in the air. I want you to go ahead and get your Bible ready and go over 1 Thessalonians for a second. I don't think most believers really believe this. I mean, we say we do. But I think few believers really believe in the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Some people even laugh at it. We don't live in the expectancy of that. Do you realize or do you think about the Lord could come today? Do you realize He could come before we finish this service? Oh boy, maybe He could come after the fried chicken. You know, maybe He could do that. I'm looking forward to that fried chicken. Amen. Oh my goodness, that's scary. We're looking forward to the fried chicken. Amen. Amen. There you go. Oh my goodness, we got to get worried. Got to get with the program here. And so, we need to be expectant. Expectant. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we, the believers of the church, which are alive and remain, shall be caught up together with them in the air, clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. That is a certainty. You say, when is it going to happen? I don't know. But I know this, it's going to happen. Could be today. Maybe today. And when we look at his translation, we think of the fact that we face that as believers, and that's a real possibility. And it'll be a miracle, a supernatural happening. And God deals with the miraculous and the marvelous. And what happened here with Enoch is that way, and certainly what will happen with us as believers. Turn over 1 Corinthians for a second. Just to remind you that, 1 Corinthians 15, and let's see, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This is a tremendous truth. Faith means you take God His word and you believe it. You believe He could come back at any moment, and you live in that expectancy, and you can say, perhaps today, maybe the Lord will come back. That's faith. Faith in His return. So there's the translation. Then there's the testimony, the showing of His life. We're back in Hebrews chapter 11, back in that chapter. His testimony. And the faith of Enoch testifies to the life of faith that he had. And if you look in at verse 5, by faith he was translated, should not see death, and he was not found because God translated him, and for he had this testimony that he pleased God. Last part of verse 5. Walking with God. And faith involves walking with God. Not running ahead of Him, not walking according to the course of this world, but walking with God. And you know, we say walking with God, we say walking by faith, the faith, the walk of faith, and we say, what does that mean? What does that mean to walk with God? And you say, okay. Immediately what came to my mind, okay, it means to have prayer time, means to have my devotions. Well, it does mean that, but it means more than that. It means more than that. When you walk with, okay, you're not walking behind, you're not certainly walking before, you're walking with. When you walk with, you're going where they're going. That's why I said trust and obey. When you walk with God, you're walking where God is taking you. When you start backing off from walking where God wants you to walk, you're not walking with Him. You're walking away from Him. And I'll tell you what, you're in one of two places this morning. You're walking with God like Enoch did, or you're walking away from God. And so let's look at that thought here. He had this testimony that he pleased God. So who is in this pleasing? He pleased God. He pleased God. God said this about him, that he pleased him. He pleased God. Wow, what a testimony. What a testimony. This man pleased God because he walked with him. Well, how pleasing are you to God? If the Lord looks at me and He looks at you and He thinks, that man pleases me. He walks with me. That woman pleases me. That young person. And by the way, young people can walk with God. You don't have to be 30 like I am, or you can walk with God. Some of you laughed at that. I'm a little hurt over that, I'm just kidding. I passed 30 a few years ago. Quite a few years ago. Walking with God. walking with God. That's a who in the pleasing. He pleased God. He pleased God. Now, when in the pleasing? We're going to go back to Genesis for a second. You can put your bulletin here. Go to Genesis chapter 5. And there's a special message here for those who are, particularly those who are parents. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 21. Genesis 5, 21. I want you to really tune in on this because there's a truth here I think will help you in this matter of walking with God. Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And, verse 22, and Enoch walked with God, and he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters, and all the days of Enoch were 365 years. So, the who the pleasing, he's pleased God. The when the pleasing. Enoch pleased God by walking with him. Did you see what happened? Did you see in that verse? His son Methuselah was born. He begat Methuselah. He walked with God after. Did you see the word after there? I don't know if you missed that, because that's important. After he begat Methuselah. Wow. His son was born. And he began to walk with God. You folks are parents. Did that happen in your home? When your children start showing up, and you start having children, did that draw you? It doesn't always. It seems like when some people have children, well, they don't, you know, we got children, we got things to do, we got places to go, and you know, we got diapers to change, and so we don't have time for worship, and we don't have time to serve. Not this man. He walked with God after his son was born. And dads and moms, you need to walk with God, not walk away from him with your children. And he did that. He did that. And not just for a few days, not 300 years. Did you see that? 300 years. I can't imagine 300 years. We walk with God. You know the greatest thing your children can say about you, mom and dad, is that you walk with God. Not that you are talented, not that you made a lot of money, not that you had this, not that you, but you walk with God. Do they know? Methuselah had to see that. He had to see that his dad was walking with God. By the way, your children don't have to be told. You don't have to tell them that. They know that. You don't have to say, by the way, I just want to let you know that I walk with God. Really? They go, really? They know that. And that's the greatest legacy you could leave them. That is more important than anything you can put in their pocket. That's more important than anything you can give them. That is essential. You can't take your family where they need to go unless you're walking with God. Because you can't go, you can't take them where you've not been. And we in our fundamental churches have men who are not walking with God. And so they're not taking their families where they ought to be. And if you don't walk, you can't take. It's just like when I got out of college. I was teaching a Bible college, and I was teaching in school. I was just one day ahead of my students. We were up night, study, 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 teach, study, study. But I had to walk ahead to bring them up here. You need to be walking with God, mom and dad, and grandpa and grandma too. One of the things I pray for, I say, Lord, help me, help me, help me to have a spiritual influence on Joshua and Allison and now Olivia. I do. I pray that, oh God, I want to have an influence for God on, and I mean that with all my heart. We did that. I'm so techie, you know. I'm just. And when you get to know me, you would have roared when I said that if you knew me. But we were doing that. What do you call it? FaceTime. I get the time in the book mixed up. But anyway, we were doing the FaceTime and. And Joshua was saying his verse that he had to say Wednesday night. And then I remember he said, Grandpa, can I say again? Well, no, I don't want you to say it again. I said, sure. That, I went and told the church, I told everybody about that. This stirred my heart. And I'll tell you what, we got to walk with God, man, and mom. We do. And Enoch was a good parent because he walked with God. Not just because he played ball, and that's important. Not just because all those things are important. But I'll tell you what, they don't take on significance unless you're walking with God. Nothing can substitute for that. And a lot of people try to substitute. Some parents try to get surrogate parents. Oh, the Sunday school teacher will do that. The youth pastor will do that. Pastor will do that. Nobody can disciple your children like you. Nor should they. Now, the church is a wonderful come alongside. And we'll support you, hold your hands up and pray with you and love your kids. A preacher will love your kids. I love kids. I have a candy jar in my office, which stays empty most of the time. Sometimes adults come in. I can't figure that one out. And saying, what are you doing in here? This is for the kids. Well, I like candy too. Okay. But you need to walk. You need to walk as a parent. You say, oh, preacher, he didn't have what I have. He doesn't have the... Are you kidding? This was a wicked day. The day that Enoch lived in was a wicked day. You say, well, we're living a pretty bad... We don't come close. You know, we're easy to come up with excuses and try to let ourselves off the hook and whatever. You know, it's a terrible time. Haven't you heard what's doing an attack on marriage and all this? I understand that. But it doesn't come close. It was so bad. Remember, God had to destroy the world with a flood. Did you forget about that? A wicked time. Yet he walked with God. So don't be blaming your circumstances. Don't be blaming the pressures of the world. Oh, it's so hard. There's so many temptations. Well, yeah. You think there weren't in his day? But this man walked with God. He did. In that day of great wickedness. And you can do that in the marketplace, in the neighborhood, in the schools. Wherever you are, you can walk with God. And Enoch did that. He did that. And you know what? He didn't have the completed word. You do. Can you imagine a Christian life without the Word of God? He didn't have the indwelling Holy Ghost. Man, you got it. Jesus said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. And he's given you the battle plan. He's given you his word. And every day you can... But he still walked with God. We need to walk with God. We sure do. And if you're not walking by faith, you can't walk with the Lord. So, we talked about the who, we talked about the when. What about the what in the pleasing? Look again. Here we're in Genesis 21:22. He walked with God, and after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And he pleased God because of that. He pleased God because of that. And verse 23, and the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and was not, for God took him, and he walked with God. And back in Hebrews, please. And because he walked with God, if you look at the last part of verse 5, he pleased God. The what in the pleasing. He walked with God. He walked with God. And only two people that's told of, Enoch and Noah. Only two men that phrase is used with, Enoch and Noah. And they both walked with God. And walking with God is, and I'm trying to help you wrap your mind around this concept. And not let it be some nebulous phrase that you just say, oh, that sounds really good. No, I want you to put some flesh on it. I want you to unpack it. Walking with God, and I'm going to be trying to define it different ways as we go through the message this morning. It's a very confidential intercourse. It's a close communion with God. It's a very intimate thing. And like I said before, it's not certainly not walking behind him. It's walking with him. Where he's going, you're going. And it's always let him lead. That's faith. Because you trust him and you're willing to go where he's going to take you. In your Christian life, but also in life in general. Oh, I don't know if I can do that. How will this happen? By faith, you know it'll happen. By the way, whatever God orders, he pays for. And so, it's to make God's Word our rule and his glory our purpose. And We want to see to please Him in everything that we do. This is all the walk of faith. And so when I'm walking by faith, I'm walking in such a way that I want to comply with His will, and I want to submit to His will, and I want to yield to Him and do what He wants me to do. It's to be a follower of Him, like John says, as dear children. Follow Him. And a child is take, if a child will let the adult lead them, they'll be okay. But when the child tries to lead the adult, we're in trouble. And so what we need to do is be like that child who submits to the adult and let God lead us. And God said this back, look again, at the end of verse 5, He pleased God. He pleased God because He walked with Him. Enoch pleased God. And you want to please God today? I hope you do. And you walk with God. What does that tell me? He wants me to do that. He wants you to walk with Him. He wants you to walk with me, as Enoch did. And I wonder if I could, that could be said of you, could be said of me, that we walk with Him. You say, oh, it's not impossible. There's faith again. Absolute trust. We make the possible impossible because of our lack of faith. Nothing is hard for God. You say, preacher, it's so hard to walk with. It's so hard. No, we make it hard. And His circumstances, like I said, who knows what the pressures that He faced in that wicked, wicked. You know that He had to stand out like a sore thumb in that culture. You know He did. But 300 years, the guy walked with God. Boy, if we could get some believers to do 300 minutes, that'd be great. He walked with God in that wicked, wicked, wicked society. And he had the normal life like we did. I don't know what he did for an occupation, but we know he had children. So he had a family. He had all these things. And we just think sometimes, well, these people, they were removed from reality. They didn't have to go to work. They didn't have a wife. They didn't have children. You're wrong. This man had a son, we know at least. He's a family man. Had to support his family somehow. And he lived, he did all that in this wicked, wicked culture. Yeah, he walked with God. He did. On and on and on and on and on. He walked with God. You have that kind of fellowship with the Lord. Could God say of you, we said of Enoch, that He's pleased with you because you walk with Him? Well, that was the walk of faith. How about the way of faith? Verse 6. But, look at verse 6. He talked about it and he said, now I'll tell you this, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. It's essential. The way of faith is essential. Faith is essential. Without faith, it's impossible. It's a prerequisite. Don't even think about pleasing God if you don't have faith. God wants you to trust Him. Remember when He talked to Abram? He said, I want you to leave and go. Can you imagine Abram coming home to his wife and said, honey, you need to pack. Why? We're moving. Did something happen in the office or, you know, what's going on? God's told me to move. Okay. All right, let's get the GPS. Where are we moving? Don't know. I do know the direction, though. Well, that's good. At least we know the direction. Can you imagine that whole thing? Can you imagine your wife? Can you imagine going home and your wife saying, honey, we're moving. When we move? Well, probably tomorrow or next week, yeah. Yeah. We're going. I'm not sure where, but when we get there, we'll know we're there. How will we know we're there? God will tell us. Ooh. Not many wives say, praise the Lord, I've been waiting for this. But you know what? He did it. He did it. Abram had come, been God had been moving along to that point, and He does that. But some of the things that He's going to ask you to do, and He's going to be doing it real soon, may seem almost as monumental as what God asked Abram to do. Now, how are you going to respond? If you're walking by faith, you say, I'm going. I'm walking with you. So if that's where we're going, I'm there. Are you going to say, isn't it funny sometimes we spiritualize our disobedience? You understand what I'm talking about? God will tell us to do something. You say, let's pray about this. God's already spoken. There ain't no praying to do. I mean, if you have your children, you say, son, I want you to clean up your room. Could you explain to me what that means? I want to talk to you about that, Dad. Let's talk about what do you mean room? What do you mean clean up? What is the details of the clean? How many things? Would you engage in that kind of dialogue with your child? You say, son, let's sit down. Let's talk about it. I'll explain that to you. You say, get in there and clean your room now. And they know what you meant. And you know what God means too. You do. And a lot of times their needs, and God says, meet the need. Well, bless God, I'm going to pray about this. Why? You're not walking by faith. Because, and you say, you're being hard on me. I know I am. But if you are walking with God, you're going right where He's going. This is where He's going. You don't say, do you know where you're going, God? Would you do that? You say, that would be blasphemy. Yeah, it would. We don't say it, but we do it. Why can't you? Are you stuttering or what? What's the problem? You'll never be sorry you walk with God. You'll never be sorry where He takes you. And this says if you lack this faith, this platform upon which you live, this environment which you live in, if you are walking by faith, you'll please Him. If you're not, you won't. And this it was essential. Then it's exercised. And He says, it's impossible to believe God. He that cometh to God must believe that He is. You say, well, I believe there is God. Yeah, I know you do. You got your doctrine straight, but is your doctrine, is your belief translated into behavior? Yeah, you know there's God, and you came to Him in salvation, but is He God today in your life? Are you walking with Him? Do you believe He is? Do you live like He is? Most believers don't. You look at them and then you watch them and as they navigate work and everything. You're like, good grief. There's no difference between them and Joe unsaved. Because they don't really believe He is. It's funny. We believe God can save our soul and take us to heaven, but we don't believe He can help us meet our school bill. You say, don't park there. That's where I live. Good. Because God wants you to trust Him. Whether it's for your school bill, or your deputation, or your job, or your whatever, or wisdom to help your children. Raising children is a tremendous ministry. But I'll tell you what, it doesn't come with all the answers. That's why you walk with God. It's foundational. It's so important, so important. So very, 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 very important. And sometimes we try to circumvent that, and sometimes we try to miss that, and it's exercise, and it's essential. And it says, He's a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. He rewards. And you say, okay, I know in heaven there's the crown of life, and there's all those kind of rewards. No, I'm not just talking about then, I'm talking about now. God blesses obedience. And there's a couple ways that blessing happens. One is a very blessing of being in His presence. I think that's enough right there. Don't you? Just the sweetness of His fellowship. And you will go through some tough times because He's going to take you. Because what did Paul talk about? the fellowship of his good times. Is that what he talked about? No, fellowship of his what? Sufferings. But we're walking together. And so that's a wonderful reward. But as I walk, like when the disciples were with Jesus, they saw him do the miraculous. Whoa, did you see that? He just healed that person. Whoa, did you hear what he said? That person, look at all those people that got on and on it goes. When you're walking with him, you will see the miraculous. I've told our people, I said, I want to see miracles. No, I don't mean some spooky thing falling out of the sky. No, I want to see real miracles, things that only God can do. Don't you want to see that? Well, if you don't, you need to do some backing up and check it up, because you need to get there. Because God wants to show himself faithful and powerful. Every believer needs to see miracles. By miracle, I mean that it's something only God could do. And every church needs to see miracles. And it'll only happen when you are walking with God as a believer and as a church. It'll only happen, and he'll reward. One day, we will all stand before the Lord. You will. That's an appointment you're going to keep, buddy. What do you want to hear? Well done. Well done. Well done. The longer you walk with him, the sweeter he grows too. And that's another reward. The sweetness of his presence. So how about it? Where's your faith? Are you living on the platform of absolute trust and absolute obedience? Or are you just sort of doing your own thing? The Christian life is not do-it-yourself deal. It's you walking by faith.